be discussing the topic that a number of you actually requested on the last Bechina, and that is of Hashgacha. Oh. I want to, this week's Parsha indeed, especially Ramban. We'll get to it. I do hope to talk about it. I want to begin with a caveat. I once was talking to somebody, and I told them something happened to me, and I said something along the lines of, it was incredible hashkacha, to which he told me, isn't that taloy in a machlokes between a Rambam and a Ramban? So, at the time I remember wondering, does this guy have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Does he daven? The notion of tefillah that we, where we ask Hashem to help us, and obviously tefillah presupposes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a koach to tefillah, and that the tefillos make a difference, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does in fact play a role in our lives, and that role is very much at the heart of our relationship to and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, like all topics, we're going to look at the Makoros carefully, and we'll discuss different opinions, and indeed there is a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban, and there are different perspectives upon the scope of Hashgacha. But at the same time, it's important to remember throughout this whole conversation that to make sure the details in the machlokes don't cause us to lose sight of the fundamental principle that all thinkers agree to, which is the role of Hashgacha, the role that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does play in each and every one of our lives. So, the notion of Hashgacha is in fact something that is stressed throughout the whole Torah. And if you take a look at your source sheets, we begin Hashgacha on page 5. We'll start with, in your honor, Pasuk from our Parsha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha in the world is a central theme throughout the Torah. And the Pasuk tells us this is one of the purposes of the plagues, one of the 10 plagues. It says, Leman teida ki ani Hashem bekarav haaretz. The purpose of the Makkah was to show that I am God on the land, meaning to say I'm not just the God in the heavens, the God who might have created the world, but no longer interacts with the world. No, I am the God of the world. And while providence is overtly demonstrated by miracles, it's not limited to the blatantly supernatural. The Rambam, at the end of Mor Nevuchim, highlights this point, which is the first source on the supplemental sheet that you got today, the single sheet. The Rambam writes, V'hosif, here the Rambam is describing the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Ki im bezos yisalel ha-mishalel, haskel v'yadoa osi, ki ani Hashem osa chesed mishpat utzdaka ba'aretz, ki ve'ela chafatzdi ne'um Hashem. So the Rambam writes, I don't know where those are. Anyone see the supplemental sheets? There should be a in the back. Okay. So the Hosif Inyan Acher Tzarech Me'od. So this pasuk adds a very important word when it says that Hashem is Ose Chesed Mishpat Utzdaka Ba'aretz. V'hu Amro Ba'aretz Asher Hu Kotev HaTorah V'lo Machsheves HaHorsim Shechashvu Shashkachasu Yis'ala Kalsa Eitzal Galgalei Hayareach. This is the principle of the Torah and is against the view of the destroyers who maintain that God's providence ends with the lunar sphere. Here he's referring to Aristotle, Aristotle maintained, as we'll see shortly, that there's general hashgacha with respect to the species and with respect to the celestial realms, but not with respect to don't ask questions yet. Let's get there. Let's learn something first before we could ask. Not in the sublunar realm. So the Rambam says, no, this pasuk is coming to refute that. V'sha'aretz u'ma she'ban azav. Azav Hashem es aretz. The Rambam writes that this perspective of Aristotle is already alluded to in the pasuk. The pasuk in Yechezkel says, azav Hashem es aretz. And of course, that's not true. Eino rak kemoshe bi'er lanu yad adon kol chachamim ki la'Hashem ha'aretz. That's a pasuk also from this week's parsha, that the purpose of the Makos is to show that la'Hashem ha'aretz. It's from Perek Tes of Shmos. Kemoshe bi'er lanu, yomar shashkachaso gam kein ba'aretz kefi ma'shehi. Kemoshe ishkiach ba'shamayim kefi ma'shehim. Just as God is involved in the celestial realm, so too in the sublunar realms. V'u amro, ki ani Hashem osa chesed u'mishpat ba'aretz. And thus the pasuk says, I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do chesed, mishpat, and staka ba'aretz. And all of those obviously presume hashkacha. And thus, the Torah is filled with examples of great people davening for things to happen in their life. Yaakov Avinu, before running to Lavan, and then when returning from Lavan, before encountering Esav, davens. Hatzileini na miadachi miad Esav. Eliezer, before beginning his quest to find a wife for Yitzchak, stops and davens, asks Hashem for Hatzlacha, and then when he succeeds, he thanks God and attributes his success to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement. There are far too many psukim to possibly cite that all take for granted God's involvement in the world. We'll perhaps just cite one or two. First, again on page 5, this pasuk from Yirmiyahu, Perek Lamed Beis. Gadol ha'itzav irav ha'alila asher einecha pikuchos al darkei b'nei Adam laseis le'ish kedarachav u'chafrim alalav. So first of all, this pasuk takes for granted that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of what happens in the world. Einecha pikuchos al kol darkei Adam. And moreover, that God intervenes to ensure justice. Laseis le'ish kedarachav Uchefrim alalav, to give to every ish, meaning to say to individuals. So, like we noted before, not just with respect to the general hashgacha, but there is specific hashgacha. Elsewhere, the prophet in the source Yud Zion describes the implications of such involvement. I'll just start reading. From the beginning of that pasuk, Kol Amar Hashem, Arur Agever Sheftach Ba'Adam, V'Sam Basar Zro'o, U'min Hashem Yasur Levavo. So cursed is the man who trusts in man, who makes flesh his arm, and who turns away from Hashem. V'ayakar Ar Ba'Arava, V'lo Yireki Avotov, V'Shachan Charerim Ba'Midbar, Eretz melecha velo seishev. So the pasuk tells us, so I didn't give you the whole pasuk, that what happens when a person does not have bitachon, what does not trust in Hashem, so that will cause him to be abandoned by Hashem. The implication of this verse, though we'll return to this a little later, is that mida keneged mida, if a person has bitachon in Hashem, so Hashem will protect them. And thus, the person who does not have bitachon in Hashem, but is boteach ba'adam, so he will be like a lone tree in the plain, and will not see when good comes, and will dwell on parched land in the desert, on salt, sodden soil that is inhabitable. And then the pasuk continues, Baruch HaGever Sheiftach B'Hashem V'Yashem Miftacho, blessed is the man who trusts in Hashem, for whom Hashem is his trust. And here we have the opposite result. Here too he's compared to a tree, but a different type of tree. V'Ya Ke'et Shasul Almayim, he'll be like a tree planted by the water. V'Al Yuval Yishalach Sharashav, and by rivulet spreads its roots. V'Lo Yirek Yavochom, he won't see when heat comes. Meaning, say, he'll be like a tree that's protected from the harmful rays of the sun. V'haya alehu ra'anan, his leaves will always be green. Uvishnas batzores lo yidag, and in the times of drought, he will not worry. V'lo yamish me'asos peri, and he won't cease from producing fruits. Another very important point stressed here in this pasuk, which is that the person who is Boteach Bashem, not only will God protect him constantly, but he also will not worry, because he knows that God's always protecting him. So the pasuk stresses that he has no fears. Uvishnas betzores lo yidag. Now, presumably, this doesn't mean that someone who trusts in God will never suffer. Again, there are so many psukim in Tanakh about great people suffering. The trials and tribulations of even tzaddikim, and presumably we're not going to claim that all of those tzaddikim did not have bitachon, so we're going to have to return to that question, exactly what's meant here, very important question. But certainly this pasuk, as well as so many others, highlight A, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in the lives of individuals, and B, what stems from that, which is the importance of bitachon, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu affords particular protection to the boteach. Again, there are many additional psukim that one could cite. Let's turn, though, to some statements in Chazal. Again, the focus of this sugya we're going to see is in the Rishonim, because they are the ones, especially Rambam and Ramban, who developed the idea more systematically. Today we'll focus on Rambam, next time Ramban. But first let's just see some additional sources of Chazal. Take a look at the bottom of page 6. So the Gemara says, V'am Rabbi Chanina in Adam nokef etzba'u milamata, elim ken machrizin alav milamala. A person doesn't stub his toe unless it was either announced or decreed from on high. Shenamar mehashem mitzade gaver, it's from Hashem that man's goings are established. This Gemara certainly would imply a robust perspective on Hashkacha. Even the small things like stubbing one's toes are the result of divine decree. Now, one interesting issue that we're not going to discuss now, what we'll hopefully get back to, is how this relates to free will. If everything that happens in the world is a result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and nothing bad ever happens to a person unless it was decreed from on high, so then is it the case that I could decide to harm you? So, important question. Indeed. We'll return to that question in the coming weeks. Another source that highlights even the smallest things that happen in a person's life are a result of divinely ordained acts, as the Gemara in Erchin, Tazayin Amud Beis, you have over here. Ad hechan tachlis yisurin. What is the extent of yisurin? Meaning to say, what types of things still have a chaloshem yisurin? What would constitute yisurin? So the Gemara says, even like very minor things, right? Amar Rabbi Elazar, kol she'argo lo veged lilbosh ve'ein miskabel alav. Even if a garment woven for a person and it doesn't fit him, he goes to the tailor and he has his pants hemmed and they turn out they're an inch too short, right? So when something like that happens, a person should understand that these are Yisurin from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are meant to be a kapara, so they're a form of punishment, or, and I should say, and, to hint to the person that he should do tshuva, that he should change his ways. When preparing for this year, yesterday I worked for an hour or two, and then somehow or another lost all of my work. So I thought, my goodness, this is what we're supposed to think.
It's better than Avram when Ramban says that Avram had to have stomach problems before he died to get Yisurin, so it's much better than that.
Ah, Baruch Hashem. What do you mean? It's not just something like a big deal, like your hem being an inch too short. Even smaller things. Afilu niskavnu limzog b'chamin umazgulo b'tzonein. You wanted your water cold, and they gave you room temperature water. Ve'ad amri kule hai, mabrit ravina afilu nafach lo chaluko. Even if your shirt is inside out, Rava Vitem Rav Chista Vitem Rav Yitzchak Amri La B'mas Nisa Tana Afilu Hoshit Yadu Lekis Litol Shalosh V'alu Lo Shtayim. You're going ahead, you're trying to get change, and you're trying to pull out three coins, and you pull out from your pocket two coins. Dafka Shalosh V'alu B'yadu Shtayim Avol Shtayim V'alu B'yadu Shalosh D'leka Tirchol Mishtayhu. Okay, So the Gemara is telling us ad kedei kach how far Yisurin go. The Gemara asks, one second, the kol kach lama, like what's the nafka mina for this, like that I have to know the extent to which something has a shame Yisurin? And the Gemara answers, because so a person should realize kol she'avu alav arba'in yom below Yisurin kiba olamo. Go ahead and have 40 days without Yisurin, even the small scale Yisurin. So you don't. You might have received your chelik in Olam Haba, because, after all, ein tzadik ba'aretz asher lo yaseh tov lo yachz. Everybody sins in some way, and therefore, everybody needs or should get some type of yisurin. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting a person entirely from even these small-scale Yisurin, it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is causing him to get his schar in this world. We'll talk more about that as well, which is obviously something that's quite worrisome. Now, the Gemara, by implying that even the smallest things, the smallest irritations, are divinely ordained, a practical application is what the Gemara in Bracho says in Daf Hey, Yisurin ban liyadcha yifashvesh b'maisav, shenamar nach besad derachenu v'nach korah v'nashuva ad Hashem. If a person experiences Yisurin, and this is whether it's true for a big Yisurin or even small-scale Yisurin, so a person should do tshuva, should investigate their ways. Now, while the above sources clearly seem to indicate that all things, or nearly all things, happen because they're divinely ordained, as we'll see, from the Rishonim, at least many Rishonim seem to imply that things aren't so simple. And with this, we'll turn to the Rambam's perspective. And consider how the Rambam would read Gemaras like this. Now, before beginning Rambam's position, it's important to note the following. The Rambam writes that, well, I'll say it differently. We'll get to that. In 1199, Reb Shmuel ibn Tibon, who is Rambam's translator, he lived in Provence, wrote to the Rambam. He was working on the translation of the Mor Nevuchim, and he writes that I have some questions about Hashkacha. There seem to be certain stiras in the Mor Nevuchim. Later we'll get to what the stiras are and how the Rambam answered his question, but he says, I want to travel to Mitzrayim to ask you to explain to me the stiras in this work. So obviously, if to someone, you know, as careful of a scholar as Ibn Tibbon, during the lifetime of the Rambam, was confused about the Rambam Shita on Hashkacha, so we have our work ahead of us. And the truth is that the Rambam's position on Hashkacha is the matter of debate. But let's start with what we can. So the first I'd like to discuss one aspect of, well, you know what, let's start with this Rambam. We won't start with the Rambams in Mor Nevuchim, we'll start with some of the Rambams outside of Mor Nevuchim. Turn to page 8, you'll see the Rambam from Hilchos Taniyos. Rambam writes, V'davar zeh midarkei hatshuva hu, shebizman shetavo tzara v'yizaku aleha v'yariu, v'yedu hakol, shebiglal aseihem hara'im horelohen. When something bad happens, or there's an impending tragedy, the community perceives bad things coming their way. So what is our response? There's a mitzvah to respond with tefillah, za'aka, blowing the shofar, and the like. And why is this so important? Right? Lech kenos kol yudim. Why is this so important? Because by doing this, by responding in this way, everybody will know that these bad things that are happening because of their actions, their wicked ways. They'll recognize that this disaster is coming because of our wickedness. And if they recognize that and then do tshuva, it's not just about blowing shofar, it's about blowing shofar inspiring us to do tshuva because of the recognition of the hashkacha, so then they'll improve and the tzara will go away. Aval im lo yizaku velo yariu ele yomru davar zeh miminag ha'olam ira lanu. But if on the contrary they don't cry out to Hashem and instead they say, ah, this is minag ha'olam, this is the way of the world, this is geopolitics, that's the cause for the impending disaster, the tsarazu nikra nikres, it's just mikra, it's just happenstance, harezu derech achzarius, this is from the ways of achzarius. Achzarius usually means cruelty. Rabbi Twersky pointed out in the Musar Shmuz last year that here it's probably better translated as insensitive, like the Rambam also writes in Hilchos Avel. The Rambam there in Paragiyad Gimel Halacha Yud Beis writes, Kol mi she'enu mis'avel kamo she'tzivu chachamim harei ze achzari el yifached v'yidag v'yifashresh b'maisa v'yachzor b'tshuva. Anyone who doesn't mourn properly is an achzari, again, insensitive. Instead, he should do tshuva. The Rambam maintains that, as we mentioned in the first semester, that the ikar of avelos is tshuva, and here too, it's the same yesod. In other words, the question is, here in Hilchos Taniyos, the Rambam is describing the results of a communal tragedy. In Hilchos Avelos, he is describing the reaction to an individual tragedy. In both cases, the reaction has to be the same, namely, tshuva. And in both cases, someone who fails to do that is considered an achzari. He's insensitive. He's not paying attention to the message that God is sending him. So the Rambam writes, this reaction, to attribute it to Mikra, is achzarius, the goremis lahem lidabek b'maaseim harayim, and it will cause the person to continue to cling to their evil ways, v'tosifa tzara tzaros acheros, and memela, onto this tzara will be more tzaros. Hu shekasav haTorah, v'halachtem imi bakeri, v'halachti imach b'chamas keri. So if you follow in the ways of keri, meaning to say you refuse to acknowledge the providence in God's actions and refuse and attribute them to keri, to happenstance, as opposed to doing tshuva, so then I will act towards you with chamas keri. Kilomar, kshavi alechem tzara kadei shetashuvu im tomru shu kari osif lachem chamas oso kari. So that's what the Rambam writes. So the Rambam here compares two approaches to responding to tragedy. One is to understand its hashgacha and react accordingly, and the other is to attribute it to happenstance, which will cause only the tzaros to include to increase. The Rambam here is talking about communal tragedies, though we saw the Rambam in Hilchos Avelos that is referring to individual tragedies as well. And before we, I guess, get into that point a little more in detail, the difference between the Yachid and the Tzibor, or Hashgacha Klali and Prati, let's just see one more source in which the Rambam addresses another very important aspect to Hashgacha, one that he always addresses whenever discussing Hashgacha. This is from the letter that he wrote to the Jews of Marseille on the topic. It's at the bottom of page 8, where it's bolded and underlined, beginning with Uvezeh. The crux of this letter was written in 1194, after he wrote Mar Nevuchim, and the focus is a rejection of astrology and those who believe that fate is determined by astrology. The Rambam writes that it's very important to stress this because people could misunderstand Torah sources, because they could understand that these Torah sources, by referring to Mazalos and the like, seem to accept the notion of astrology. And here the Rambam goes ahead. First of all, we'll note, he's going to quote again this pasuk from Parashas Bechukosai about Keri. Use this pasuk to speak about individual suffering, not just a communal suffering. He's also going to quote the pasuk that we had before from Yirmiyahu as proof for this point. Let's just read it together. Again, the bottom lines, uvezehi amachlokas. It's about this point that we disagree, meaning to say that I'm rejecting the view that he's about to describe. So he writes, v'anachnu bali ha-Torah ha-mitis lo nomar shem oros b'nei adam hem keri. We who believe in the Torah do not say that the things that happen are keri, are mikra, are happenstance. Rather, ela b'mishpat. They're all with justice. Kemosh amra Torah, hatzur tamim pa'alo, ki chol derachav mishpat. Someone who believes in astrology, meaning to say that things that happen to a person are a result of the mazel that they were born under. Or someone, maybe we'll have a chance to talk about mazel a little more, but first today we're going to focus on the Rambam. Or they believe that the things that happen are just mikra, they're just happenstance. So that is a denial of divine justice. And the pasuk cries out, Atzur Tamim Pa'alo Ki Chol Derachav Mishpat. Upir Shanaviv Amar, Asherin, the pasuk we saw quoted earlier, Asherin Necha Pikuchos Al Kol Darchei Bnei Adam Laseis Leish Kidrachav Uchafrim Alolav. Val Dabar Zeis Hira Torah Ve'ida V'amra Lo V'im Lo Tishmuli. Now he quotes the psukim from Bechukosai. Thus, the Torah stresses, if you don't listen to me, and I bring upon you Yisurin, and you say, no, these Yisurin are not an onesh for our sins. Elakari, umeora kishar hameorosh iru bekari. They're mikra, they're keri, like other events that happen bekari. Right? In other words, he's not saying everything is hashgacha. There is such a thing as an event that happens because of keri, but when a person attributes the sufferings in their life to keri, so then ani osif lachem me oso hakeri. Zehu Shekasav im telchui mikari valacht imachem b'chamas kari. V'zehu ikur datenu hi toras Moshe Rabbeinu. Shekol me'oro shi'iru ba'olam v'chol yisurin shi'avau b'derach mikra l'chlal b'nei adam din u'mishpat hein. V'chein amru chachmei ha'emes rabosenu alim ha'shalom ein misa b'lo chet v'ein yisurin b'lo avon. We'll see this gemara in a second, but Chazal say, Ein misa below chait. Somebody dies, it's because there was a chait. Ein yisurin below avon. If somebody experiences yisurin, there must have been an avon. There must have been a sin. So from this source, as well as others in the Rambam that we'll see shortly, including the Maor Nevuchim, the Rambam indicates that absolutely everything that happens in a person's life is just. And that's what the Pasuk says. Ki chol derachav mishpat. The line here, I'm not sure exactly, he writes, Shekol me'orosh ir ba'olam v'chol yisurin she'evo b'derech mikra l'chlal b'nei adam. What does he mean, l'chlal b'nei adam mean? You could have translated that as to mankind in general, like that befall collective man. I don't think that's the correct translation, meaning to say lafuke the yachid, because the next sentence makes clear that even the yisurin of an individual fall under this category. Okay, so that Rambam here concludes that there's absolute divine justice and all the sufferings that a person experiences are just is consistent with the Gemara in Erchin that we saw just a minute ago. And the truth is that if you just had this passage, you would conclude that all events, or at least all sufferings in a person's life, are a direct result of providence. Now, as we shall see, I don't think this is a tenable reading in the Rambam, because the Rambam will explicitly state that at least regular people are not subject to all-encompassing hashgacha in all matters of their life. He distinguishes, as we'll see, like in Psukim, between the Ashkacha of Tzadikim and regular people, Eine Hashem. If you take a look back at a number of the Psukim we quoted on page 5, really you see that idea. Eine Hashem El Tzadikim V'Ozna V'Elshavasam Karov Hashem L'Nishbrei Lev Estakei Ruach Yoshia Rabos Rao Tzadikim Mikulam Yatzulenu Hashem Shomer kol atzmos v'achas mein lo nishbara, Eine Hashem al tzadikim v'oznaval. Right. So we'll discuss what those mean, and we'll read that Rambam inside very carefully in just a minute or two. But the Rambam does say pretty clearly that there are things that happen, at least to regular people, that aren't the direct result of hashgacha. So what then does the Rambam mean over here? So when you read the Rambam carefully, I think what becomes clear is that he didn't state that all events are divinely ordained. It may be the case that God will prevent any act of injustice, but that doesn't mean that everything that happens is a direct result of his providence. Meaning to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ensure that a person never experience injustice. So, kichol derachav mishpat. If a person were to suffer, even though they never sinned, now that might be impossible, but theoretically, if someone never sinned at all, and they were to suffer, so that would be unjust. And the Rambam tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never allow that to happen. Kichol derachav mishpat. And therefore, the Rambam writes, Ein yisurin below chait. Anybody who experiences any type of yisurin must have sinned. Now, that means if a person stubs his toe, he knows with certainty that he has sinned, and that this pain he's experienced is warranted. However, that doesn't necessarily indicate that every single person who stubs their toe, that toe stubbing is a direct result of Hashkachas Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that this person will stub their toe at this date and this time. That doesn't necessarily follow. All the Rambam writes is that that if it happens, it's just. And that might be what the Rambam understands, that Ein Adam Nokef Etzba'o Milamata Alim Kein Machrizin Alav Milamalav. Meaning to say it's just, but it doesn't necessarily imply that it's the direct result of Hashgacha. Now, the Rambam over here cites a Gemara in Shabbos that Ein Misa Blochet, Ein Yisurin Blochet, but the truth is that the way that he cites this Gemara is actually quite surprising if you look at the Gemara. So take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara is in your supplemental sheets, source number 2. Amar Vami. Ein Misa Belo Chet Ve'in Yisurin Belo Avon. So indeed, the Rambam did accurately cite the view of Rav Ami. Ein Misa Belo Chet Dechsev HaNefesh HaChotasi Tamus Ben Lo Yisa Be'avon Ha'av Av Lo Yisa Be'avon Ha'ben Tzidkas HaTzadik Alav Tiyev Rishas HaRasha Alav Tiyev Gomer. Ein Yisurin Belo Avon Dechsev Upakadati B'Shevet Pish'am Uv'Negaim Avonam. So we have psukim that tell us that Yisurin is cause of chait. But the Gemara questions this. Meisvei. Amru malach esher slanei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yidvanu shal olam. Mepnei ma kanas namisa al Adam arishon. Why did Adam die? Amru lam. Mitzvah kala tzivisiv v'aver ala. He sinned. Amru lo. Alo Moshe v'aron shekimu kolotar kula v'meisu. Great. I understand why Adam arishon had to die, but why Moshe and Aaron? They were mekayim kolotar kula. Amru lahem. Mikra echad letzadik vilarasha latov. What does this pasuk mean? This pasuk indicates that the tzadik suffers due to the sins of the wicked. Meaning to say that Moshe and Aaron died not because of anything that they did, they were tzadikim gemurim, but rather due to the chait of Adam HaRishon, meaning to say, against Rav Ami. So the Gemara answers, "Hu de Amar ki haytana, de Tanya Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Af Moshe Aaron b'cheta mesu, Shenamar Yan lo hemantem bi, ha hemantem bi, Adayim lo yigia zmanchem lipater min haolam." You're right. This brisa is against Rabbi Ami, but Rav Ami has a different Tana that supports him. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says that no, Moshe and Aaron did die due to their sins. Yan lo hemantem bi. This too is a fascinating machlokas. Does the first view hold that Moshe and Aaron didn't sin at all, or perhaps they did tshuva, or perhaps the sin that they did didn't warrant death, or the like? But perhaps for another time. Meisvei. So far Rav Ami's okay. It turns out it's a machlokas tanaim. Meisvei arba meisu. There were four people that died without having sinned at all, just because of the chait of Adon Chava. Ve'eluhen, Binyamin ben Yaakov, Amram Avi Moshe, Yishai Avi David, Kalev ben David. Money. So, whose opinion is this? Ilei matana de malachi ashares, v'akam Moshe Aaron. It can't be the Tana, the first price that we cited, because that Tana said Moshe and Aaron also didn't sin, or at least didn't deserve to die from their sins. Elalav, Rabbi Shimon Elazar. So must be that this Tana is the view of Shimon Elazar. Shema mina, yesh misa b'lo chet, v'yesh yisur b'lo avon. And yet we see, therefore, that even Shimon Elazar agreed that there's yisurin b'lo chet and misa b'lo avon. It's interesting, the Ramban picks up on this, that are we going to ever be machalik between Yisurin and Misa? The Pasha of Shad is no. So, again, what's the Gemara saying? That there is taka e machlokas among the Tanaim, why Moshe and Aaron died. Did they die because of the Nachash, or did they die because of their Chataim? But nevertheless, everybody agrees that there are some people who die, people like Binyamin or Amram or Yishai, without ever having sinned. And therefore the Gemara concludes, V'tiyufta de Rami tiyufta. End of story. Rami is slugged up. Now, of course, this is very surprising, because the Rambam, we just saw, quoted Rami without Chokim. Oh my. So we'll get there. So obviously the answer is, like, like Shmuel is saying, that if this was a halachic debate, then you're right. Then presumably this would be the end of the story, and we would have rejected Rav Ami's conclusion. But as we saw, when it comes to agadic matters, the Rambam will frequently accept the view that he sees as representing more broadly the Torah's perspective, even if it seems to contradict the conclusion of one particular source. In this case, first of all, Rav Ami quoted a number of psukim that support his position. Moreover, as we'll see when we do the Mar Nebuchim, there are many other Gemaras from Sachim, from Bava Kamma, that support Rav Ami's view. And more importantly, from a philosophical and theological perspective, Rav Ami's position makes sense because it upholds divine justice, and the opposing viewpoint seems to make no sense because it seems to deny divine justice. Now, what that opinion really holds, we'll have to see. The Rambam doesn't really explain it. The Ramban does, though he has to resort to Sod to explain the other perspective, which is interesting. In other words, it can't really be understood on a rationalistic level. From a philosophical, rationalistic perspective, the Rambam is absolutely right. And the only plausible view is Ein Misa Below Chet V'Ein Yisurin Below Chet. However, again, we'll get to Ramban later. The other position we need to resort to Kabbalah to explain. Be that as it may, the Rambam, as we see, accepts the view of Rav Ami. In Mor Nevuchim, he, in a couple of places, returns to this particular topic, this Gemara and Shabbos. In 317, in Mor Nevuchim, which you have in your booklet starting on the bottom, page 9, but I gave you just, if you want to see the, not find the place, on the supplemental ones, the relevant lines that I'm going to quote here in the small text, the Rambam, again, refers to this debate in Chazal. The Rambam has, in 317, goes through the five perspectives on Hashgacha. He presents the Torah's view. We'll read through those five perspectives, but after summarizing the five views, the Rambam writes, again, V'anachnu na'amin shekol elu ha'inyanim ha'anoshim heim kefi adin. We believe that everything that happens happens al pi din. Now, I'm going to teach you a important tool when studying Mor Nevuchim, and we'll see how important that is in this chapter, which is it's always important to see when the Rambam uses the term v'anachnu. Sometimes he refers to the opinion of the Torah, sometimes he refers to Chazal, sometimes anachnu. So anachnu, meaning we, and he uses the term we in this case because, as we'll see in a moment, he's going to be rejecting a view in Chazal. So v'anachnu na'amin shekol elu ha'inyanim ha'enoshim heim kefi adin. Everything that happens to a person, again a person, he's going to distinguish between persons and animals. Everything that happens to a person are al pi din. V'Hashem chalila lo me'avel lo ye'anesh adam mimenu ela mechuyav v'arayil onesh. Nobody will ever suffer unless they're worthy of suffering. Zehu akasav b'Torah Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom ki hakol nimshach acharei adin. V'al zeh adas nimshachu divrei hamon chachameinu zal. So now he acknowledges there is taka machlokas. He says, this is the opinion of many in Chazal, but not all. She'ata timtze'em omrim bebiur ein misa b'lo chet ve'ein yisurin b'lo avon. Here he quotes Rav Ami again. This time he says this is the opinion of Hamon Chachameinu. Ve'amru b'midash ademodeid ba modedin lo zel lashon ha'mishnah. He quotes a Mishnah in Sota that also says this view of Rav Ami, that every b'midash ademodeid modedin lo, you get what you deserve. Uviru b'chol makom she'amishpat mechuyav be'achriach b'cheiko yis'ala. And they declare all over the place that there is this justice, v'hu shigmol ha'over Al kol ma she'yaseh mimaaseh kavod ve'yosher. And he adds a very important point, not for now, but he says, fascinating idea. Va'afal pi she'lo tzivahu bo al yedei navi. A person will be punished even if there was no divine instruction about that matter. The Rambam explains, because a person is capable on their own to a large degree of knowing what's right and what's wrong. That doesn't mean we could be machaven to the entire Torah, but basic morality is something that everybody could be machaven to, and therefore someone who fails to adhere to basic morality is punished regardless of whether they happen to have heard the tzivui al yedei navi or not. The Rambam writes explicitly that the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach are things that could be known, could be discovered, derived independently. V'she'anesh kol ma'aseh ra she'asu ha'ish v'afal pi she'lo huzar mimenu ayidei navi. Achar shehu davar she'asechel mazhir mimenu. Because we are all given an intellect, we are all given a sechel, and we could determine on our own, to a large degree, what's right and what's wrong. So if we fail to do what's right, we're held accountable, regardless of whether a person happened to have heard the Torah or the Navi or not. Ratzalomar zhara mina avel hachamas. Amru, ena kodesh baruch hu mekapeach schar kol biria. Vamru kol omer kudcha brichu vatran hu yivatran mei oi. Elamarach ape vigave delay. Right? So kodesh baruch hu is not mevater. You do something wrong, you'll get punished. You do something right, you'll be rewarded. Vamru eno dome metuvi osa elamish. Eno metuvi osa. That's true. And Achanami, if there's a tivu, you'll get more reward. But everybody will get rewarded if they do what's right. Uvirahu afal pishalo tivu nosin lo scharu. Velzaha ikra nimshichu kol devarim. That's an idea that everybody agrees. So once again, I'm going to take questions in just a couple minutes. Once again, Ram accepts the position of Rav Ami. Here he alludes to a dissenting voice, but he writes that this is the majority opinion is in line with Rav Ami. And again, he bases it on other passages in the Gemara as well as logic. Later on also, just one other place, in 324, he once again brings this up. The next source in the supplemental packet. Here he's talking about the idea of what is a nisayon. He writes that there are some people, many people, who have the erroneous view that a nisayon means a Kadosh Baruch Hu causes a person to suffer in order to increase their reward. He understands that's what Yisurin Shel Ava mean, meaning to say their Yisurin that Hashem sends a person out of Ava, i.e. he causes them to suffer to increase their reward. The Rambam writes that this view is absolutely wrong. In terms of the word Nisayon, he goes through every place in Tanakh where the term Nisayon appears, and he shows that that's not what it means. He says there's one place where that's the superficial reading, but it's wrong. In terms of Yisurin Shel Ava, he says that is a view in Chazal. There are some Gaonim who hold of it, but it's wrong. It corresponds, as we'll see in a moment, to Rav Ami's view, which is also wrong. We should note, and again, when we do Ramban, not everybody understands Yisurin Shel Ava this way. Ramban is a very different understanding of what Yisurin Shel Ava means. Rashi is more in line with the Ramban, but the Ramban understands Yisurin Shel Ava very differently. We'll see that when we do Ramban. And again, the Rambam rejects this view emphatically. Take a look over here. I'll just read the English. The principle of the Torah that runs counter to this opinion is that contained in the Pasuk, Kelamuna ve'ein Avel. Nor do Chazal profess this opinion of the multitude, for they say sometimes, multitude meaning the many people who think it's true, they say sometimes there's no death without sin, there's no suffering without transgressions, and others of Ami. And this is the opinion that ought to be believed by every adherent of the Torah who is endowed with intellect, for he should not ascribe injustice to God. Meaning to say that not all of Chazal believe in this. Here he alludes to the fact that many in Chazal do believe in it, but he's still saying it's absolutely wrong. And most importantly, because it denies divine justice. If you take a look at the bottom source on the supplemental sheet, you have the Meiri on this Gemara Shabbos, who has a similar approach to the Rambam. He writes, even though this opinion of Rav Ami seems to be rejected, it's actually the correct opinion. He tells you why it's rejected and why the Gemara says what it does, but ultimately it is wrong. Okay, so before we get into what the Rambam actually says about the scope of Hashkacha, let me take some questions. Yes?
Isn't the Gemara, according to Rav Ami and the Rambam, you have to say at least what people did sin?
That would be the pasuk pshat, yeah. Ein tzadik v'artz lo asher yastav lo yachta. There's no one that doesn't sin. That is a view in Chazal, but it's wrong, really. That's what it would seem. Obviously, this raises an issue. What about ketanim that die, right? And experience Yisurin. The Rambam, in a number of places, including Hilchos Tshuva Perek Vav, says that ketanim do in fact die ba'avon avoseim banim heim kikinyanim. Obviously, they didn't sin. And again, if we have a chance to return to that question, we will. Yeah.
It sounds like the Rambam is already focused on the mishpah aspect of the Ashkenazi process.
Yes.
But it's stuck on the
Chesed. No, I mean, you saw at the end in 354, he focuses on all of them. We'll return to that passage in a moment from 354. But we'll get to that point as well. But the first point that we have to stress is that whatever view Rambam is going to take about Hashkacha, and perhaps it's more limited scope, as we'll see, one thing is absolutely unequivocal, which is whatever approach you take to Hashkacha, that doesn't allow for lack of Mishpat. Now, how that could be resolved, we'll see, but that's clear. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. How do we understand that the Rambam is saying that everything you get is justice and sin, but it's not Hashkacha?
Well, one possibility, again, we'll see, is that Hashem would never allow someone who's not deserving of suffering to suffer. That doesn't mean that all suffering is a direct result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe a person, there is such a thing as mikra, as teva. A person, let's say an average person, does experience teva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows him to suffer through teva because he has sinned. And therefore, you'll never have a situation where someone undeservingly suffers. Nevertheless, so clearly the implication is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would intervene to make sure that someone who is not deserving of suffering will not suffer. Does that necessarily imply that all suffering is a direct result of Hashkachas Hashem? No. Maybe yes, maybe no. And that relates to the Rambam's general theory, which we'll see, that even being subject to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu only subjects to Teva a person undeserving of the higher level of Shmira and Hashkacha that Chassidim weren't. But again, we'll get there yet. Yeah.
Is it precisely because these four individuals are accepting the Rambam's rejecting this view, or is he rejecting the view?
No, I think the Rambam thinks he rejects the view because he thinks it's unjust and it goes against Pesukim and it goes against Chazal. What about now? You know, you might add, Ein Tzadik V'Artz Asher Yastav Lo Yachta. So it's impossible that these four people died without sin. It's always fascinating, by the way. I always thought that even according to this opinion in Chazal, that there are the four people that never sinned. It's not like the great people in history. They were great, but like when you think of the greatest people in history, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, David. These people did in fact sin. Might even be their ambitious agenda in Avodas Hashem sort of made not sinning impossible. A certain type of lifestyle's necessary to live without sin. So they're not even, you know, the four people that didn't sin aren't on the Yushpizin. But anyway, that's another topic. Yeah.
As I say, Rabbi Eliyahu Lapayan used to quote the pasuk, "Ein tzadik v'aretz asher yaseh toiv v'lo yechta."
If you don't do good, you can. I hear. Okay, it's a good vark. All right. So now we could begin to discuss what actually Rambam does say is the scope of Hashkacha, except we're out of time. Oh my gosh, how'd that happen?
Here we go.
I guess so. All right. So we'll begin with Rambam Shita next time. Be'ezras Hashem. Everyone should have a good Shabbos.
Sign up sheet. Quotes how people that are tzipis of the gula, so they're going to feel that gula, like in the beginning of this year. And also Rashi by Mikri says, if we serve Hashem with profit, so that's that. He's focused on us. And of course, the Rambam is focused on Valachi Mirza Kari, the first thing in the bar.
Yeah. Be'ezras Hashem. Well, yeah. Yes. You can walk quickly.
Perfect.
to ask you a big favor.
Sure.
Since I have to run, could you just return this box to my office?
What number is it again?
Fifth floor. You'll find it. I think 508, something like that.
I know Rabbi Shlomo took the Torah about that last time.
Yeah.
My uncle raised the Torah that they themselves were leaders, but all their sons were leaders.
Yes, I was indeed.
Which is very interesting.
Except one.
Well, who's
Yishai, so Binyamin we don't find, not as clear, but maybe. Amram, you're right. But David's son. Right? Okay. Sorry. You'll catch me later? I'm sorry I didn't get your question. I'm sorry I didn't get, I was ignoring. Yes. Okay. Yeah. We'll go outside.
I'm going outside.
This is okay.
Huh?
This is okay.
Alright, perfect. Go ahead, thank you.
Go ahead, too.